Our reading comes from Luke 14, verse 1 and verses 7 to 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous."
When someone welcomes you to a wedding banquet, don't take the place of honor. Now, I know why the front rows of the church are always empty. Because all of you who are humble of heart who sit at the back, you do it because you know others want to sit at the front. You ought to be congratulated, you of humble faith. There's a story of a local church that held a scout service, and they invited some politicians and local members, federal members, the mayor and a few others, other important people. And this lesson of humility played out before the church's very eyes. These politicians, these invited guests, gathered in the front rows of the church before the service, as you do as politicians. Well, that's all well and good, because that's where politicians should sit, at the front, important places. Well, just before the service began, the scouts were meeting out in the hall, lining up in procession, because they were going to process in. At that time, the scout leader, just before the procession, comes in and taps the politicians on the shoulder and says, "Excuse me, could you move from the front rows and go and sit somewhere else?" Imagine that. But the funny thing is that the politicians had to move to places that weren't designated for them. There were no rows of chairs left vacant. There were no blocks of six or five or three. The politicians had to sit next to the ordinary people in the congregation. Sorry, not the ordinary, the very special people in the congregation. This parable that Jesus tells was played out before our very eyes. Politicians moving seats for kids to allow them to come in. A parable of the kingdom of God, says Jesus. Today's text is a parable. It's a story. It's a lesson that we learn. It's designed for teaching and instruction, to tease and to challenge and to get behind our mental facade and to look at and ask the question, is what is going on here? What is Jesus trying to tell us? The setting is a parable of the parable is a wedding, and don't we all love wedding receptions? And don't we all love to get to that bridal table somewhere and have a sit down next to either the bride or the groom and look important and say, "That's my nephew," or "That's my such and such," or, "Well, I do anyway." I have a habit of sneaking up to the front table. I love wedding stories, wedding receptions. In Luke's gospel, Jesus loves dinner parties. Often Jesus at someone's place having a meal. And at those meals, he was teaching them. Jesus imparts wisdom and teaching over a meal. Hospitality. And often present at these dinner parties are Pharisees. Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day, quite full of themselves and of the law and doing things right and clean and holy and devout. But we read there was a little word that Katrina read, the leader of the Pharisees. So this is just not any Pharisee. This is the Premier or the Prime Minister of Australia having a dinner party. This is a leader of the Pharisees. This is a bigwig. He's a PhD professor, Reverend Doctor such and such. But the debate is continuing over what is the kingdom of God. The Pharisees thought themselves to be first in the kingdom, or that they would be, because of their religious way they held to the law and purity. However, it is the exaltation of the unlikely and the humbling of the expected which Jesus teaches in this parable. Jesus' focus is to lift up the poor, to elevate the lonely, to embrace the stranger. This is not so much about picking on the Pharisees, but it's a lesson of elevation. The first thing I want us to do today is to think about a takeaway. What am I going to take away from today's worship time and sermon? Takeaway number one is how we understand and express humility and what that might mean for the body of Christ. We define humility as being low or stooping in order to elevate the other. Humility is being defined by the dictionary, and I did look this up yesterday in a book called The Dictionary, not on the internet. Being low. Low of stature, low of nature, low of social importance. In other words, being lower so you can elevate someone else higher. In a negative way, humility is we can be put low by being humiliated. We can be put down. We can be thrown down. We can be conquered and shamed. But in a positive way, humility, one lowers oneself. That is humble. And it's a redirection of one's power in service of others. Humility is a choice to forego my status and to deploy my resources, to use my influence for the good beyond myself for others. There's a story of a man or a woman, take your pick, who was given a glimpse of hell. She or he saw people seated at this wonderful banquet table, a feast. Foods of every kind were laid out on this banquet table. Roast meats, hot warm bread, melting butter, succulent fruits, desserts to die for, custard cream, ice cream, and all that stuff. How is this hell? She said. Then he realized that the people gathered for this feast had no elbows. They could not, no matter how they bent themselves or twisted or stretched, put that food into their stomachs. They were tortured by the unattainable feast in front of them. Then this person saw a glimpse of heaven. A corresponding vision. Again, the feast, and again, the people had no elbows. How is this heaven? This person observed. It looks a lot like hell to me. But then he watched as the people gathered at that feast and used their elbowless arms to feed each other, to redirect one's power in service of another. This kingdom perspective of Jesus is modeled by Jesus himself. We might remember in Philippians chapter 2, it reminds us of this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking at your own interests, but each of your interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset that was in Christ. Time and time again, we see Jesus teaching that we are to love one another, to be inclusive and welcoming by demonstrating forgiveness, love, inclusiveness, and embrace. So what is this parable suggesting? It's suggesting that you or we don't decide on the kingdom of God. We or you don't decide who's good enough or even who's bad enough. God does. It's a parable of grace. God's grace. It's God's choice to love us, to love the creation, and to embrace it. It is God's choice to elevate us from the back pew to the plastic chairs in the front. No, we don't have plastic chairs. It's God's choice. It's God's choice to bring us to the comfortable table. And it's God's choice to bring us to his table. God is the host and the one who invites. It's at God's discretion. It's God's standard of who goes where. You see, entry into the kingdom of God is not about being good. It's not about being rich. It's not about being poor. It's not about being a good communicator or a moralist. It's not about being a fundamentalist or a liberal, evangelical, literalist, conservative, or even a fence-sitter. It's about God's choice. So what is my response to this? Takeaway number two. It's God's standard. Never ours. And here's the good news. We are not worthy. Never have been and never will be. But it is God in Christ who does make us worthy and makes us all the same. Takeaway number three. How will I act after today? How will I be different? If God treats us all the same, sees each and every one of us as equal and worthy of God's love, then ought not we do the same? Ought not we be the elbowless people feeding each other? The Christian life has two responses or two callings. One is to proclaim, to declare the good news, to tell the good news. And the second is to live it. To live it, to do it, to express it. If you've been shown grace, love and forgiveness, then the response is required that you show love and grace to others. To give it in return to what has been given to you. And here comes the kicker. The kicker is one of those things that you will take away from here. It's going to be the only thing that you remember. Takeaway number one, you've forgotten already. Takeaway number two, you've forgotten. And takeaway number three, I've even forgotten. But the kicker is this. You know how they advertise and they say the same thing three times and you'll remember it. But the kicker is this. When God is throwing a party, as God does in the scriptures, when God invites us to the table, all pictures of the kingdom of God or heaven or life on earth, you'll never know who will be sitting next to you. Think about it. The bank manager will sit next to the kitchen hand. The store owner will sit next to the person they've just fired. The doctor will sit next to the person who has just sued them for malpractice. ScoMo and Anthony will sit next to an asylum seeker. And a prostitute will sit next to the Pope. All the right people will be there. That is everyone and anyone who responds to God's invitation and all seated next to Christ the host. And you know all those old grudges that we hold? All the hurts, the anger will be gone and reconciliation will come. At God's table, the barriers that keep people apart, rich, poor, upper, lower class, black, white, liberal, labour, gay, straight, friend, foe, young, old, the dividing lines of hostility will come crashing down. And God's banquet will be, is the most remarkable party. It is our call as the church, as the body of Christ, to be as welcoming and inclusive as we can. We may not get it right all the time, but let's keep trying. Let's have this parable in mind when we meet together for worship, for exercise class, lunch on chapel, Monday boys, fix it shed, garden community, yoga, keep fit, tai chi, whatever it might be. Each time we worship, each time we gather at the call and invitation of God. Ours is not the place to decide who's in and who's not. So let us remember these words from Jesus: for everyone who exalts themselves or think they're better or more important than anyone else will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted.